This is Transistor, a science series from PRX.
Hey, Genevieve here at PRX. I'm excited to say that we have a new season of stories being produced right now, with more from reporters around the world and from special collaborations. Stay tuned. In this episode, one of my favorite stories from Craig Shank and George Drake Jr. of the podcast Everything Sounds. It's about the loneliest whale on Earth, who may not be so lonely after all.
It's a sound that has sparked curiosity and speculation around the world.
In the 1980s, I think it was, a recording was made of a whale that was unusual.
It's a sound distinctive from other whale vocalizations heard before or since.
Some physical abnormality in its sound production, maybe akin to a human with a lisp.
It's a sound that's believed to be a single whale that vocalizes at a unique frequency, 52 hertz. 52 hertz is close to the bottom range of what most humans can hear. The audio was actually sped up 10 times to make it easier to decipher.
In the years since the signal was first heard and tracked, 52 hertz has been nicknamed the world's loneliest whale, because some people assume that other whales can't hear or understand it. Although there's been no visual confirmation of 52 hertz, scientists are fairly sure that it's a whale.
There are characteristics to the signal. Even though the frequency is off of what you would expect, the signal type is of a whale call.
My name is Darlene Ketten, and I am a joint appointment between Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and Harvard Medical School.
The sound has been recorded in an area of the North Pacific where whales are often found. And those characteristics that you mentioned, they are distinctive from other sounds, like fish or boat propellers.
It is not impossible that it's something else mimicking a whale call structure, but so far we don't know of any underwater minor birds that would be doing that.
Most people are aware that marine mammals use sound to communicate, but we often don't think about how critical those sounds can be underwater.
Because they're dealing with an environment in which light doesn't penetrate well, most of the communication that goes on is likely to be purely acoustic, purely through sound.
But even if we recorded every single sound that whales make, we still wouldn't have an idea of what they're communicating until we could associate those sounds with the whale's behavior.
We need to be able to see what the animals are doing and record sounds from enough animals over a long enough period of time to tie it back to that activity.
So to get that visual information, just follow the signal and find the whale. But one whale, Pacific Ocean.
Well, the term needle in a haystack comes to mind.
This is Bruce Mate.
I am the director of the Marine Mammal Institute at the Hatfield Marine Science Center, Oregon State University in Newport, Oregon.
Bruce was asked to join a team trying to track down 52 hertz for a documentary project called Finding 52, The Search for the Loneliest Whale in the World.
And if they manage to find 52 hertz, the next step is to tag it for tracking, which isn't as simple as it sounds. First, they get in a rather unobtrusive boat.
A small, inflatable vessel.
They approach the whale slowly, as not to catch it off guard.
Alert the animal or make it startle.
And when they're close enough, they can put a tag on the whale.
The size of my ring finger and about the length of a ballpoint pin.
Which sounds pretty big, but to a whale, it's like a pinprick.
It's not that bad. And these tags can have different kinds of information about whales.
How much time is spent at different water depths, sometimes about physiological information like heart rate, vocalizations. We have some tags that have three-axis accelerometers in them where we can actually see a sperm whale lunging to grab squid or a baleen whale making a lunge to collect krill.
As we mentioned, much of what has been written about 52 hertz is focused on its loneliness or its supposed solitary nature. By tracking 52 hertz, we might learn that it's more like other whales than most people think. In fact, it's not all that unusual for whales to travel alone.
Amongst baleen whales, it is completely typical that the whales move as individuals. The fact that you find baleen whales clustered about in certain areas is more a product of why they are there.
It's entirely possible that 52 Hertz ends up in those certain areas for things like feeding and reproduction. So the question is, if some whales are solitary by nature, how did 52 Hertz become the world's loneliest whale?
I think it's easy to anthropomorphize animals in general, because giving them, I'll say, human attributes is comfortable for us. That's what we know best.
In other words, people make assumptions about animal behavior that may be based primarily on their own emotions without fully understanding the behavior itself.
Perhaps reflecting on an animal with a very unique vocalization pattern, we think about that as being lonesome, but I'll be honest, I pretty much doubt that when it comes to reproductive behavior or feeding, that that's going to be any kind of a handicap.
In the case of 52 Hertz, discovery has helped drive curiosity. Although it may have led to an unscientific narrative, it has still helped generate interest and enthusiasm for this unique whale. But public interest in science can be a balancing act between what we tell ourselves and what the science actually tells us.
While it's a great idea to convey information about science in a way that makes people animated and more interested in the topic is good. What you don't want to do, though, is to encourage speculation and or extrapolations without applying that rigor of logic.
Although the science points to the lonely whale scenario being unlikely, perhaps that original spark of interest towards the 52 Hertz whale shouldn't be abandoned.
Frankly, where sound was what started the interest, sound is what's going to draw us in to find the animal, and it won't surprise me if what we see is something we're pretty familiar with. It just sounds unusual.
I'm Craig Shank.
And I'm George Drake Jr.
Craig and George reported that story for PRX in 2013, and you can see photos of their whale adventures at transistor.prx.org. Hear more episodes of their podcast, Everything Sounds, which explores the role of art, science, and culture in our everyday lives at everythingsounds.org. In an upcoming episode, music for wolves. No humans allowed. You're free to howl along at home, though. And we won't tell. The Transistor team includes me, I'm Genevieve Sponsler, PRX Chief Content Officer John Barth, Josh Swartz, and Lily Bowie. Transistor is supported by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, enhancing public understanding of science, technology, and economic performance. More at sloan.org. Tell your geeky science friends about us, please. This is PRX.